We're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land. Yeah. How good and how pleasant it would be before God and man, yeah, to see the unification of all Africans. Yeah. As it's been said already, let it be done. Yeah. We are the children of the Rastaman. We are the children of the Maya man. Africa, unite, 'cause our children wanna come home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Africa, unite, 'cause we're moving right out of Babylon, and we're grooving to our father's land. How good and how pleasant it would be before God and man to see the unification of all Rasta man. Yeah. As it's been said already, let it be done. I tell you who we are under the sun. Children of the Rasta man. We are the children of the Higher Man. Africa, unite. Africa, unite, yeah. Unite for the benefit of your people. Unite for rich, later than anything. Unite for the benefit of your children.
Uhuru, and welcome to Africa Live on uhururadio.com. This is an exciting time in the African world. We just, if you were listening in on last week, you heard the live broadcast here on Uhuru Radio of the 2006 conference to build the African Socialist International, which was I must say, had to have been the most exciting broadcast that we have done up to now on Uhuru Radio. It's a great process, and some of us, as far as the staff of Uhuru Radio, had the opportunity to be there on the ground as this was happening, and I had the opportunity to be one of those forces. I wanted to spend today really summing up today's show, summing up what we saw happening there at the conference to build the African Socialist International, because this is an exciting time for the African world, but not just for the African world, for the colonized and, you know, oppressed peoples all around the world. This is an exciting time, a time where, you know, where, as we've heard Chairman Omalia Shatela say, is the end of time for imperialism. You know, you hear all the time, where, preachers and whatnot are talking about apocalypse, the end of time, it's Armageddon coming up, and it is the end of time, but not for us. Not for anybody who's participating in the process to make a future. It's instead the end of time for imperialism, the end of time for white power, which has spent the past 500 or so years, sucking the blood of the peoples of the world. It's the end of time for that process. It's the end of time for that parasitic relationship. And it's now the dawn of a new era. The dawn of a new era that will see, a world that's not based off the oppressed the relationship between the oppressed and the oppressor, and instrumental in bringing this era to fruition is this process that that we've been experiencing, the process to build the African Socialist International. I want to begin, first of all, making clear that, you know, this is, you know, what you heard on last week, if you had the opportunity to listen in, and if you didn't have the opportunity to listen in, by the way, you can catch the archives that are on the uhururadio.com website, under African Socialist International. You can catch the archives there. But we're going to play a little bit of a couple of clips, you know, a few clips from the conference today. But again, you know, go to those archive page and experience it again. If you did experience it, and if you haven't experienced it, experience it, because it's the conference was amazing. But just saying it to say, you know, this is not something that just popped up. You know, this is not a process that just, you know, all of a sudden just, you know, came into being. It's a process that's been a long process, you know, a long process that has taken much effort, you know, much work, a process that was begun by the African People's Socialist Party and its chairman, Omalia Sitela, in 1981, where, you know, at its Congress, the African People's Socialist Party passed a resolution to build the African Socialist International, to build a worldwide African revolutionary organization that would take on the task of uniting African people around the world and uniting our Africa and liberating our Africa, you know. And and, you know, even there's been, you know, there's been development, quite a bit of development in the most recent years, in that process, you know, even in terms of how exactly we see the ASI, you know, looking. But there's been quite a bit of development in that vein. And I mean, in this process, this long process, we've seen participation from Africans all around the world, you know, from places like Congo, Cameroon, Zimbabwe, Zania, which is known by its colonial name, South Africa, Sierra Leone, Ghana, Mozambique, Guyana, Barbados, Venezuela. You know, there's been participation from Africans all around the world, of course, in places like France and the U.S. and Britain, you know, Germany, you know. And so this is, like I said, this has been a long process that has taken quite a bit of effort, but it's an idea, you know. It's been said that the ASI, the African Socialist International, ASI, is an idea whose time has come. It is a organization whose time has come. And so we saw at this conference, this historic conference to build the African Socialist International, the date being put down for the founding Congress of the African Socialist International, which is exciting, you know, because we've been working for so long to make this thing happen. And so we see now, you know, in 2008, in Senegal, in West Africa, the founding Congress of the African Socialist International will be occurring. So this is it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. And even, you know, this has been a process that is, like I said, is been laborious. You know, it's not been an easy process, but it's been one that has seen quite a bit of development, even in terms of the participation, you know, the level of participation, because there were periods of time where, you know, Africans, there's a tendency where, you know, some Africans would like to come and have discussions, you know, but in terms of concretely putting anything on the ground, you know, is not something that that, you know, that some Africans would do. You know, it's just they like to come and participate in discussions, you know, forums, you know, conferences, just to talk, have talk fests and go home. And we've experienced that even in this process of struggling to build the ASI, experienced people who come just to do that, you know. But we experienced this year, you know, a number of forces who come, who wanna work, who wanna put this thing on the ground, you know, and so it's exciting. It's exciting. I want to play just a few clips from this year's conference, and to help to sum up what this conference meant, you know, for the African world. I want to do that, and I also want to invite you, our listeners, hopefully our participants, you know, in this discussion, to participate and email us or call us. You can call us if you're calling from within the U.S. You can call toll free at 1-877-824-3337. And if you're calling from outside the U.S., you can also call country code 001-727-824-5700. I also would like to let folks know that we have the ability now to take phone calls through Skype, which is an internet calling system. And you can call us there, call Uhuru Radio on Skype. And we look forward to hearing from you. What I'm going to do is go ahead and play a clip from one of the presentations at the Conference to Build the African Socialist International. This clip is from a comrade who's representing Cameroon. You know, who, yeah, he was representing the country, the microstate, Cameroon, which is located in, on the west, side of Africa. Then we'll come back and hopefully we have participation from you all out there. So this is the a clip from the presentation made by a brother from Cameroon.
Uhuru. I want them to speak into my language because I'm an African, but I'm sure if I speak now, I'll be alone to speak. And I can't use other African languages because most of us cannot speak African languages. And my first colonial language is French, but I will try in English. I'm an African, and we are trying everything and we are able. And we are speaking something spiritual, and I'm sure we will share it together. I want to thank all of you because when I received a message from Brother Luwezi requesting me to come and speak here, I said to myself, oh, my English is not very good. So how can I communicate to these people? No, I won't do that. Then thankful, my comrade who is in Germany gave me a call. He said, you will speak. I know you, you will do that. Then I said, okay, I will be there, and I will speak. And on Friday, I received a letter from the council saying that I am young, I am fit, I have no mental problems, so they can't care. They are not responsible for my accommodation. They will be homeless. I said, this is the devil. I will go to London first, then I come back and sort out this problem. And when I came here, I was frustrated and ashamed of how I'm going to talk to you. But yesterday, the warmth of the reception and the way you were talking gave me a sort of courage and the joy that post-slavery are trying to destroy in me since about 7 cycles. And today I'm happy and I have the joy to be what I am. African, yeah. I'm a strong man, I am intelligent, I'm the son of a king because I'm coming from a great land, Africa. I have to answer to four questions. The first question is, what happened to UPC? The second one, what is the state of African people fighting for self-determination in Cameroon? The third one, what are the imperialists exploiting Cameroon? And the last one, what is the legacy of Paul Biya's rule? The thing I can tell you is that I'm so young to answer to those questions. The history of UPC is a long history, is a complicated history, and so complex that I'm so young to answer to this question. What I know is that in 1496, when the white wizard from Portugal came around Africa because they were looking for workforce to create and develop their farm, they arrived at the Voree coast and they discovered that river, the Voree, was full of tasty and nice prawn, and they called that river Rio dos Camarões, which means prawn river. And from Camarões came the name Cameroon. So when some man called me Cameroonian, it means he is reducing me to that little aquatic animal. Nice in European food. I have decided to be bitter in their mouth until they will vomit me. It means that our brave ancestors have had no name for that region. It means they were unable to give a name to identify themselves and their children like me. What we know is that they are called the Douala. They are Douala people. So I identify myself as a Douala. And our ancestor has tried to resist, but they have been bombarded. And it is a serious injury that they are carrying out. And I am also carrying out that injury in my flesh and in my soul since I was born. This is why I am fighting, as they fight long time ago. After Berlin's conference, they came back with their weapon, trying to divide them, developing corruption, developing division amongst our ancestors, our brave ancestors. They tried to resist, but because of the weapon, we are fighting today against that weapons. Later, they came back again. In that line, they said they want to civilize us. You want to civilize the cradle of civilization? It's not possible. And then they use their weapon to divide them. The Germans took 80% of that land, and the United Kingdom 19%. After their imperialist war, they deal with France, and the 18 persons went to France. And the 90% remained to the United Kingdom. Until today, that part is in their hand and in their pocket. And they call us French people. I'm an African. I'm not a French people. Right. I'm not a Frenchman.
Right.
And when they did their own deal, without the consent of our ancestor, they start using all our natural weakness. This is why colonialism is an armed robber of our intellectual resource, of our natural resource, of our human resource, of our spiritual resource. And we are against that until nowadays. From them, from that time, the first political party was born in clandestinity, the 10th of April 1945. That political party is called UPC, Union des Populations du Cameroun. It means Cameroonian Union of Population. That was born in clandestinity. Because they start fighting since they were young. 10 years later, because of their fight, because the way they were resisting, they decided in France to dissolve that party. And in relation with their main server, they decided to eliminate physically the leader of the Union des Populations du Cameroun. In the bush, Umnyobe, he was the secretary of that party. He has been betrayed and killed by French people. Félix Moumié has been killed in Geneva by a French man. He was a policeman working for their secret agency. He poisoned him in Geneva. And then they come in Cameroon, working with their men server, black African from our land, where they cut Osinde's Afana's head. I say they cut his head in his own village. Ernest Moumié and Wambo Le Courant was publicly executed. And when they went to execute Ernest Wanji, they asked him to make his end or his last prayer and to close his eye. He said, "I will die with my hands open, but I want you to know one thing. My body will die, but my soul, the UPC soul, will never die. Our children will continue this fight." So our ancestors, our grandparents and parents, they were heroes. They were fighters. So we consider ourselves a heroic people because we are still fighting until we win. Because of that, the independence that they are creating, everything, they install their own government, their own men server. It was around 1916. And those grandparents and parents, Umnyobe and the rest, they come from the trade union. So they say that in that part of Africa, there will never be a trade union. And the others who were fighting with Félix Moumié went in exile. Yes, they went in exile. Nowadays, some of them have passed away. Some are old and physically tired. but they are still fighting. They are doing their best. We have been educated by them. In 1990, I was a student. We were just about almost 20 years, some 18 years. We decided to fight for democracy and total independence of our country. As our grandparents and parents, we were forced to live in exile in our own land. We were refugees. We were living in clandestinity as our parents. And then we escaped the death. We escaped the killing. We went out. Same for us to come here. They said he has no visa. He is an immortal soul of UPC. Njomo, another comrade, was to come here, but he couldn't. He is also an immortal soul of UPC. My generation are living here in hope, some in the United States. I've been living here just for 10 months. In England, we did not give up because our ancestors did not give up. And we will continue fighting until the imperialists and their menservers are raised away. The problem is that people are thinking that in Africa there is no fight, which is wrong. It is the imperialist ideology to make our brother and sister born in Europe, born in America, consider that in your motherland, there is no fight. They block the information. They stop the information. And they teach our brother in Jamaica that they have been sold, that our ancestors sold them.
Yes. Yes.
Because they are corrupt. Yes. They have been corrupt by who?
Yes.
This is what they teach them. To create a division, because it is their logic, it is their philosophy. What I know is that we have the same color, we have the same blood, we are the same ancestor, we are the same, we belong to the same land, we are Africa, and Africa is free. When I came here yesterday, I have also to answer the question, what is the legacy of Paul Biya's role? Paul Biya is not our president. There is no rule in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That man has two constitutions, and we don't know the constitution leading that country. He has 25 generals and 72 ministers around him. Just for that little land, for himself. That man is a traitor designed by France to represent the imperialist interest. He has no legacy for himself. His belongings, has his bank account, are here in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Geneva. He is not his belonging. And when he will die, he will have no tomb in that land. Maybe in France, he will have his tomb there, but not in Cameroon. So, no legacy from him. What are the imperialists exploiting Cameroon? France, Germany, United Kingdom, are well known in that land. But we know that imperialists are united for their interest. So we can't only say it is France. We can't only say it is the United Kingdom. We know they are all of them. It is their deal to use our weakness, and we are against all of them.
Yes.
And when I came here yesterday, I want to tell you one thing. It was my first time to come to the meeting where I will meet my brother, born in America, born in Europe. When I saw their face, lovely face, it was like I'm seeing myself. I went back, I see my brother, I said, with my brother, I'm happy. And when I heard our brother, O'Malley, speaking about the situation, explaining the strategy, the tactic of the fight, I was also happy because I was coming here because of the tactic, because of the strategy of the victory, because we have to achieve what our ancestors and parents have started. It is our duty, it's an obligation for us, and we will do it, and no one else will do it for us.
So that's a clip from a presentation made by a comrade from Cameroon. And this was, you know, again, this was a great conference that, that, you know, not just, you know, made people who participated in this conference feel good, you know, but it was a conference that brought the International African Revolution steps, large steps further in the process of liberating our Africa and overturning the relationship that we are held into, this parasitic relationship where the U.S. and Europe live off of our backs. I want to note the fact that, you know, we had Africans listening, participating, even though, you know, well, first of all, I want to say this, you know, this conference, you know, had participation from Africans in various places in the world, you know, Cameroon, Mozambique, Sierra Leone, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, you know, Guyana, you know, the U.S., U.K., you know, and Sweden, you know. So this conference had participation from Africans from various places in the world, but it was not, but it's important to note that there were a number of Africans who were to participate in this conference who were not able to. And the reason why is because the state recognized, imperialism recognized the threat that that this conference, the threat that that the African Socialist International is to its ability to continue to exploit our Africa, to exploit our people, you know, to maintain this hegemony over the rest of the world, you know, the imperialism recognized that, and so it blocked participation from a number of Africans who were coming from various other areas of the world. Brothers and sisters from Barbados and Nigeria and Ghana and Germany, you know, and some of these forces are forces who travel back and forth quite often, you know, but, you know, imperialists came up with, you know, flimsy excuses for why they could not participate. But we knew, the reason why, you know, these Africans were not allowed to come into the country. You know, and the whole, I mean, we know that the reason why is because they recognize the fact that, you know, that this, the building of the African Socialist International, is the building of a whole new era, is almost a death blow in the, struggle, you know, between social, systems, you know, the struggle where between, you know, social system that we now see in place, this dying social system that's based off of the oppression and exploitation of the majority of the peoples of the world, you know, the struggle between this social system and one that is coming into place, this based off socialism, based off of, you know, you know, the working people, the workers and peasants, you know, the African workers and peasants controlling our own resources, controlling our own Africa, and you know, destroying these borders that exist in Africa, you know. So it's a war between two social systems that's going on, and they recognize this threat to the social system that's in place, and they recognize the fact that, you know, the African Socialist International is ushering in, you know, a whole new period. And but notwithstanding the fact that they blocked these Africans from coming into the country, they were not able to block the ability for the African Socialist International to consolidate itself. They were not able to block any more than they're able to by attacking, you know, other peoples all around the world. In, you know, this resistance, this growing resistance that's happening around the world, for control of our own lives, you know. And even though they blocked, you know, these comrades from participating in these places, we were able still, through Uhuru Radio, through this tool, which is an important tool, and I hope this helps us to, you know, our listeners and people who participate, you know, in making Uhuru Radio happen, to understand the significance of Uhuru Radio, because notwithstanding the fact that they were able to block participation from these places, block people from coming into the UK, into Britain, from those places, we still had Africans who were able to participate remotely, able to listen, and even send in emails at their leisure, you know, in places like Angola, in Ghana, from Germany to Ukraine, Sierra Leone, to Canada, you know, in Montreal and in Quebec, you know, in places like the UK, I mean the US, you know, you had people listening from all over, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania to Florida to California to Missouri, St. Louis, you know, Texas, you know, all over the place, all over the African world, you had people listening into this process, recognizing that this is the process, this is the thing that's going to move us forward, you know. And and it's exciting, and it should make it clear for us our responsibility to build Uhuru Radio, to make it even more effective than it is now, you know, and develop our capacity, you know. And in coming out of this conference, we saw some development from that as well. And we're going to talk about that some too. What I want to do is to, you know, play quickly. Although some of these comrades were not allowed to participate in this conference, were not allowed to get into the country, there were a couple of statements that were sent in from comrades who were not able to get into the country, but were determined that they were going to, you know, participate in this process somehow. So I want to play those, you know, play a couple of statements that were sent in to the conference real quickly, and then we're going to continue. We're going to take a brief break after that, and then we'll come back with more on the significance of the 2006 conference to build the African Socialist International.
Today, I have with me the emails that Brother David Stanton sent to us, and also Brother Adesina from Nigeria sent to us. I would like to share the content of the email with you. This is the email from Brother David Stanton. In Barbados, and remember, it came on a Friday morning, and on a Thursday morning, and it was sent back by the British immigration officials. Hi, Junis. I'm letting you know I was refused entry into England. I will give a full report of my ordeal in England at a later date. I am inquiring how is Aister, and I wish the conference all the best. Please inform me of the decisions taken at the conference and everything else.
At this time, I am in Barbados disappointed and angry at the treatment I received in England. As I promised, I will give you a full report of the torture I went through in England. But at this stage, I just want some rest. Let me know if I still was able to make the conference. David Stanton. This email was from Baba Aziz Adesina. He's the leader of a group known as Formidable Youth Movement in Nigeria. Thank you for your care, concern, and assistance in all you have done for me and our organization. May God bless you abundantly. Just to let you know that my visa application was refused yesterday. I was totally surprised because the reason given for my refusal is not genuine. They said the money that I'm going to spend is too much. which is not. They said I am financing my own trip at the cost of £500 equivalent to 130,000 Nigeria money. And for your information, the flight ticket from Nigeria to UK is almost 140,000. That is the reason why I was totally surprised when they said the money that I'm going to spend is too much. Because £140,000 will be roughly $550. The reason why I was totally surprised was when they say the money that I'm going to spend is too much. Also, the invitation letter sent to me was not returned to me. I can believe what was going on with them. Probably meant I can't believe what was going on with them. All my document was genuine. My bank statement is okay. I have enough money in my bank statement, almost 287,000 Nigerian money, which will be roughly £1,000. If you want me to send the refusal notes to you, I will do so. Even if you want me to send all the photocopy of my document to you, I will send it by post to you, just to let you know the truth of all words I'm saying. And if there is any help that you can render for me, please kindly assist me. Also, please kindly send your registration website online address to me. Thanks. Akerazan Adesina. That's the letter from the Bible in Nigeria. So as we said yesterday, the other people we haven't been in touch since the conference started. We're planning to be here, but the immigration at the visa, the embassy, they didn't get it. The British made it sure they don't come to England. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to start with a solidarity.
This historic collection, the chairman and representatives of the Emerging African Socialist International explain why Africa and all its resources must be liberated and in the hands of African workers and peasants in Africa and everywhere. The chairman's new book, One Africa, One Nation, documents the process of building the African Socialist International, which is rapidly growing in countries throughout Africa and in the U.S., the Caribbean, and elsewhere around the world. For pictures of the chairman's recent book signing tour, and to
order your copy of One Africa, One Nation, go to Burning. African People Socialist Party Chairman Omali Yeshitela's new book, One Africa, One Nation, is available now. In this historic collection, the chairman and representatives of the Emerging African Socialist International explained why Africa and all its resources must be liberated and in the hands of African workers and peasants in Africa and everywhere. The chairman's new book, One Africa, One Nation, documents the process of building the African Socialist International, which is rapidly growing in countries throughout Africa and in the US, the Caribbean, and elsewhere around the world. For pictures of the chairman's recent book signing tour, and to order your copy of One Africa, One Nation, go to burningspearuhuru.com. That's www.burningspearuhuru.com.
Shop, donate, and volunteer at Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles for great deals on high-quality used furniture and unique treasures. Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles is a non-profit used furniture and collectible store with outlets in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Oakland, California, and St. Petersburg, Florida. Uhuru Furniture Stores are an institution of the African People's Education and Defense Fund for genuine economic development for the African community. All donations are tax-deductible. Volunteer at Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles to be part of a great community of people who have a true desire to change the conditions of life for the African community. To locate the store nearest you, visit apedf.org and click the Uhuru Furniture link. That's APEDF, the acronym for African People's Education and Defense Fund. Or simply Google Uhuru Furniture. So what you heard just before we went to break was statements read by Comrade Louise Kinshasa, who is the interim chair of the chair of the interim committee to build the African Socialist International. Let me get that correct. And those statements were from comrades coming from Barbados and in Nigeria who were blocked from entry into the country. But it's we should also note that comrades were not allowed to come from other areas too. There was a comrade from Germany who was attempting to come, who, you know, apparently travels back and forth quite often. But for some reason, they told him that he... that the papers that he has are not good enough for him to travel to England this time. There's also a comrade from Ghana and some other places as well where Africans were not allowed to participate. But notwithstanding that, it was an excellent conference, and we were able to meet some serious objectives in terms of putting down the date for the founding Congress and expanding the ASI interim committee that would build for that Congress, the founding Congress. I want to just to give folk an idea of the type of participation we had, to play just a few more clips, just, coming from Africans from different areas of the world. The next clip I'm going to play is one from a sister who was representing Guyana. Sister named Iester Hoyt, who represented Guyana, and I mean, it was, like I said, it was an excellent it's an excellent conference that saw participation from Africans from all over. Guyana is in South America, and in South America, you know, there's supposed to be I want to say 14 million African people. No, it's 140 million African people in that region, you know, and so it's a serious front in terms of the International African Revolution, and Guyana specifically is a place where Comrade Walter Rodney hailed from. And Walter Rodney, for those who don't know, is a giant in the African liberation movement, and was assassinated, in Guyana. But I'm going to go ahead and play this clip from the sister who was representing, reporting from Guyana.
Yeah. I want to thank you guys very much for bringing me here to at least explain the position of what is really going on in South America and actually the Caribbean. Guyana. I just want to say before I give my report, just pay respect to the Creator and my ancestors. In the name of the Creator, the most merciful, the most graceful, all praises be to the Creator, the cherisher and the sustainer of the world, the most graceful, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Only you do I worship and your aid do I seek. Show me the strength and the way, and those who you have bestowed your blessings and your grace on, in the straight path, and who do not go astray. Elders, brothers, and sisters, it's family time. And we have gathered here from the diaspora to reignite the Afrocentric values and the principle and the concept in order to reestain the African minds and be true Africans once again. Since wherever we are plagued by, we are continued plagued by the same situation. The challenges are great but not insurmountable. True divine guidance and indomitable will of the black man shall rise out of the ashes of the majestic height of triumphant liberty. This task is simple but not easy. In Guyana, the situation of the African family is no different from the rest of the African family elsewhere. For those who do not know about Guyana, permit me to give you a brief insight on the history of Guyana. The word Guyana is an original word and means land of many waters. It is found on the mainland of South America and is bordered by Suriname in the east, Venezuela in the west, Brazil to the south, and the Atlantic Ocean to the north. It is just smaller than Ghana with 2,255 square kilometers. Guyana was controlled by the Spanish, the French, the Dutch, and in 1814 was seized by the British imperial powers, who used the most grotesque act of barbarism and terrorism ever committed. Hundreds and thousands of African people were enslaved, brutalized, raped, and murdered. The mainland English-speaking country share a common history and culture and destiny with the Caribbean, vice versa, Africa. Our multiracial society is made up of mainly African, East Indian, Amerindian, Chinese, European, and mixed races. The two major races being African and East Indian. This potpourri, a mechanism of colonialism, enables the oppressor to champion its permanent strategies of divide and rule, while the rest of the society come in ignorance for control of pettiness that made available to them. All the black freedom fighters such as Kofi, Akwa, Damien, and thousands of the nameless African men and women who fought alongside them and died, discover and fulfill their mission, giving their lives so we can live today. In 1966, another black freedom fighter named Lyndon Farb Sampson Burnham warned that political independence is not an end in itself, but an instrument for achieving economic independence. A black socialist in his own right, Lee's struggle for national self-reliance. It also saw great personalities like Walter Rodney and U.C. Guyana. After the death of Lyndon Farb Sampson Burnham in 1985, Mr. Desmond Hoyt replaced him in office and also made sterling contribution in a pro-Western direction. And in 1992, the African Guyanese lost political, economical, and social power. Today, some people have everything, some people have nothing. A racial neocolonial Indian regime came to power in 1992 and is bent on using the plantation structure and culture to spawn an apartheid system. They continue to use this system, which is similar to the caste system that the ancestors were custom using in India. Today, it is being used in Guyana, while masses of the African remain subjective and impoverished, and regarded as second-class citizens. African being at the bottom of the social ladder in servitude to all above. Many African men can be shot by both the legal and illegal arms of the state, in their homes, in their vehicle, and on the street without no question asked. This, in fact, is evident that the African Guyanese, more than any other race in Guyana, suffer from marginalization and subjection. And after the August 28, 2006 election, Africans are tired of the Guyana politics and poverty that so many of us find ourselves in. Deliberating poverty, unemployment, undernourishment, and hunger, where a country will have 2,462 kilometers of land space and major national resources is in this condition. An educational system designed to shift out the very poor from a tender age and if you do make it, you are coming out as functional illiterates. Yeah. A criminal healthcare system, drugs like cocaine, etc., eat away and help diseases such as HIV and AIDS, with many other, are designed our very core of our generation. Unsafe and inadequate housing, the correlation of being black with very poor, are some of the factors devastating our families and communities. We are demanding a larger and larger number of real and meaningful change. While Guyana comprised of very large so-called representation of African leaders of many African organizations whose leaders do little or nothing at all to help or represent the African people, but instead they are easily bought for 30 pieces of silver and cheap emancipation celebration, along with tax-free concessions. Their children drive the best vehicles, go to the best schools, eat the best food, and live in the best housing, and travel where and whenever they choose to do so, while the majority of the masses suffer and pay the cost of these leaders who are called upon to represent on our behalf. A new slavery. Today, some of us still fight the same white supremacy, justifying the capture and the enslavement of our people so long. Although Guyana achieved formal independence in 1966, it's after the achievement no attempt is made to reconstruct the African people and the economy and the society. It is continued to have the old Wifey cocktail party, which is attended by many of our African slavers instead of leaders. The foreigner continue to control the wheels of our economy and display an economic employment and social level is institutionalized to the native that is meaningless of our independence. Our national resources is being plundered by invitation. International politicians and external agencies and government are dictating policies and programs that are not in the interest of the Guyanese people, much less the African people. Economical dependency on our former colonial powers, Britain and United States imperialists and its agencies such as the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, have led a new form of colonization, so-called aid. If the International Monetary Fund Structure Adjustment Program, foreign NGO, which is short for nothing going on, are all part of the arson of a new slavery and imperial domination. The racist and repressive neocolonial regime believe that Washington and the MIF aid and more aid will provide the solution to Guyana and the African people on the development. However, they are in fact doing is handing over our sovereignty, mortgaging the nation, and paying the way for our re-enslavement. Our salvation do not lie in Washington Consensus Aid and foreign NGOs, or do it lie in party politics and parliamentary procedures. That political circuit, which is outwardly noisy and frantic, but inwardly powerless and irrelevant, our salvation lies with ourselves. Teach the children the truth. Marcus Garvey said, if we do not know where we are, where we come from, we will not know where we are going. These are the things we must note on this day. Every generation must know their history, but history acts like a relay race. The baton is passed from one generation to the next, from one freedom fighter to the other freedom fighter. So every generation must discover its mission and either fulfill it or betray it. Nothing but ourselves. Let's remember that slavery and our freedom was not won by consensualizing European Amerindians and missionaries. Too often, we are misled in believing that slavery was ended primarily for economical reasons or purely on humane ground. But they were deciphered revolutionary struggles by our ancestors against colonialism. We fought and won it with our lives. And in Durban, South Africa, in 2001, slavery was real crime against humanity and gave us a great opportunity also to fight for reparation for emancipation to our homeland. So, in the world of Lyndon Farb Samson Burnham, the free man is who free himself. The slave looked to others for free him and still remain a slave. A country like Guyana cannot afford parasite, the lazy, the inefficient, or the colonial of all who believe that someone will free them. So to all the African at home and abroad, I say the struggle continue, and we are confident of the victory over good over evil.
Ooh, so that is a clip from a report made by a sister from Guyana. Just playing that to make clear to folk that we're not just talking about, you know, Africans participating in this thing from, you know, from one area of the world. The ASI, you know, had participation from all around the world, and it's like I said, it's a process whose time has come. It's an idea whose time has come, and you know, in this process, we saw the consolidation of the date. For the founding Congress of the African Socialist International, and we saw the capacity to develop even more Uhuru Radio, the Burning Spear newspaper, and other tools, other media pieces that we have as tools of the International African Revolution. I want to play. First of all, I want to let folk know again that if you'd like to add anything or if you'd like to ask questions, have comments or things like that, you can do so. All you have to do is you can call us toll free. Within the U.S., you can call toll free. It's 1-877-824-3337. If you're calling from outside of the U.S., you can call country code 001-727-824-5700, and you can also contact us by email. All you have to do is click email DJ on the right side of the Uhuru Radio front page, and so you know we definitely look forward to your participation in this discussion, in this summation of the 2006 conference to build the African Socialist International. I also just want to note again, you know, in terms of the things that that the British state did to prevent Africans from participating, they not only blocked Africans from coming into the country, but they also attempted to shut down our capacity to put out propaganda in the country. And as a matter of fact, you know, the ASI was the British state sent the ASI committee a fine of 7,000 and 200 pounds for having put up posters on the ASI informing African people about the ASI. So not only were they trying to prevent Africans from, you know, other countries coming into the UK to participate in this conference, but they also were trying to eliminate the ability for Africans within the UK to know that this conference was happening. But it was futile. You know, its efforts were futile, and notwithstanding those efforts, the conference did happen, and we're moving forward with the founding Congress. I want to play another clip. This clip is from a sister named Sandra, who reported at the ASI conference from Mozambique. So this was another African who participated from another part of the world, but also she represented Portugal as well. So I'm going to play this clip, and we'll be right back with more discussion on the 2006 conference to build the ASI.
Can you put your hand together and welcome Sister Sandra? She's been waiting. Do a report.
Well, I've been waiting because I'm a bit nervous to do this. It's the first time. But I'm happy that I'm within my family. Before I start, I just want to give thanks and praises to the Creator and to our ancestors. I hope that our ancestors continue to guide us and protect us in our struggle to overcome imperialism. And may we be blessed with their strength and wisdom. Ashe. I came here to talk about Mozambique, but I lived in Portugal. I grew up in Portugal. I live also in Mozambique. So I know both realities. And before I start talking about the situation in the continent, in Mozambique, I would like to talk about what happened to us Africans in Portugal. I'm talking about the people that came from the ex-Portuguese colonies. They moved to Portugal after independence because the situation in their own countries wasn't the best situation. So they had to move to start a new life in this country, Portugal. So we had a big community. We have still a big community of Africans in Portugal. They come from Mozambique, Angola, Cape Verde, Guinea-Bissau, São Tomé and Príncipe. And they've been there for quite a long time. And they've been struggling. And what happened, for example, for my generation, that we moved there, we were taken there by our parents, some of us were born there. And from the beginning, we had to face racism and discrimination. The reason why I decided to talk about Portugal is because I heard the brother before talking about Sweden and what he said about Africans in Sweden trying to integrate themselves in Swedish societies. In Portugal, it was different. And the major difference is because we faced discrimination and racism from the beginning, my generation actually tried to make a point saying that we are Africans. We're not Portuguese. Even though our parents were trying to integrate themselves into the society, my generation was saying, no, we don't belong to this society. Because they're discriminating us. They're making us, making racism statements against us. And we're facing that from 6 years old. They used to call us names in school, say, go back to your country. That's the way we grew up. And that's why if you met people from the ex-Portuguese colonies that grew up there, young people, they are angry because they had to struggle. They face it, they didn't have job opportunities, discrimination in school. Everything was happening to us. And that put us in situations that we had to face police as well. They were all the time after us for the minimum of things. Also, what most people don't know, there were skinheads in Portugal. Actually, I lived in this neighborhood where there was a big community of African people from all these countries that I've told you about. And nearby, there was also a group of skinheads. They killed some of our brothers. And what we did is we used to hang up in groups, because that's the only way we had to protect ourselves. We used to hang up in group and make a statement that, okay, we don't belong to your society, that's what you say, so then don't try us to say to us that we need to integrate, because we don't want to integrate. Mm-hmm. And we had to kind of organize ourselves to deal with these skinhead problems that we faced in Portugal. And we did well, because they were trying to overcome us, but we had even situations when some of our brothers had to carry guns to protect our neighborhoods, to protect our schools, because they would come to our schools as well. So that's the situation that I just wanted to let you know a little bit of what was going on in Portugal. It's a small country, but it's a small country where a lot is happening. And nowadays, a lot of us Africans, they moved, they came into UK, they moved to France, they moved to Holland, because we don't have any opportunities. We don't have ways of climbing in the society. Especially our brothers, they've been struggling a lot. They don't get jobs. They don't get good education. The doors are closed, basically, for us there. And that was the reason that I decided to move as well. I said to myself, what is it that I'm doing in a country that doesn't give nothing to me? I just have to go back to my continent. I have to go back to Africa, because that's where I belong. Going to Mozambique, I don't know how much you know about Mozambique. Republic of Mozambique, it's a southeastern country that makes political borders with Tanzania, Malawi, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Swaziland. And these borders were actually defined by the British and by the Portuguese at the end of the 19th century. So we don't recognize those borders. In the beginning of the 20th century, they settled this colonial capital, where today is Maputo. By 1930s, Portuguese, they had imposed direct rule over Mozambique, and in the 50s and the 60s, they actually had this program where they were inviting all the Portuguese from Portugal to come over Mozambique. They were attracted by the golden opportunities that they would see there, you know? And these opportunities were at the cost and expense of our people. They were stepping on us. and they came there, and they belong to this high level of the society, our brothers and sisters. Most of them, they didn't speak Portuguese. They had to be doing the lowest jobs. They didn't have access to education, nothing. So that's when, soon after, some exiled activists that were opposing themselves to the Portuguese colonial power started to organize themselves. They started having meetings in Tanzania to form the Mozambican Liberation Front, FRELIMO. Okay? FRELIMO was first headed by Eduardo Mondlane, and they began the War of Independence. They started by taking control of much of the north of the country, but the Portuguese, they only left, or they decided to leave, not that they really left, but they decided to leave basically when they have this cup of state in Portugal. That was in 1974. So in 1974, there was a military coup in Portugal, 25 de Abril. It was on 25th of April. And this new Portuguese government, they kind of supported autonomy for the colonies, or maybe should I say they supported a new structure that would accommodate neocolonialism, because that's what they really supported. Yes, because the white world, he never did nothing to help our people. Never. And they would never do nothing to help our people. It has to be us doing something for ourselves. We can't count on them. Because they always have their own interests. That's why we need to have our own interests as well. And we need to be selfish in our interests. By this time, a lot of Portuguese settlers have deserted Mozambique. But a lot of them stayed. And they stayed, and I can tell you, there's no white person that I know in Mozambique that is not, that does not belong to the upper class of the society. Okay? And if you go there, and if you see a young boy that looks like white, maybe with blonde, curly hair and blue eyes or green eyes or whatever, don't be fooled. It's not, if that boy is walking around in a poor neighborhood or begging on the streets, don't be fooled. It's not a white boy. It's just one of the victims of the rapes that happened when the United Nations peace forces were there to do to maintain the peace agreement. They were there by the time when the peace agreement was made in Mozambique in 1992. And so I call it rape because for me, if you come into a country where the majority of people is living under privileged conditions, a country that experienced atrocities and war destruction for more than a decade, as Mozambique did, and you walk around showing your USA dollars to young women that don't have access to the most basic needs, you're forcing them to engage in a situation of no choice. And for me, that's rape. Yeah. Going back, in 1975, Mozambique became independent, but as part of the new colonialism scheme. Portuguese, when they left the country in a state of chaos with a few skilled professionals and no infrastructure. Frelimo started ruling under a single party system with leader Samora Machel. Personally, I don't have much knowledge about what happened because, like I said, I grew up in Portugal. The story that I was told, it's a different story of what happened. But what I believe is that Samora Machel, what he's trying to do, he had good intentions for me. That's what I believe, that he had good intention. But they kind of cut it his way of growing up or develop his intentions. And they actually killed him in a plane crash. After the death of Samora Machel, RENAMO, which is a rebel, which was a rebel group by the time, came into the scene as an anti-Frelimo resistance group. RENAMO was actually established by White Rhodesia as part of a destabilization policy. Later, it was supported by White South Africa, ANC, and also by ANC, and also by certain sectors in the West. When Samora Machel was killed, Chissano became president. And in 1990, there was an amendment of the Constitution to allow a multi-party political system. They began talks, Frelimo and RENAMO, and in 1992, the peace deal was signed. In 1999, we had the first elections, which raised some controversy about the system votes and all that, but international, how do you call them, observers said that no, it's right, Frelimo is the one in power. Okay, Frelimo, it's actually the party of the new colonialism system. It's just white power in a black face. In 2004, they choose Gebuza over Chissano. Maybe it's a coincidence, I don't know. But by that time, Frelimo's son were actually involved in a trial, murder trial, where they alleged that Frelimo's, Chissano's son, was linking to the killing of Carlos Cardoso, which was a journalist. Until today, we don't know what happened. We don't know the truth. We just know that the responsibles for this killing, the major responsibility, hasn't been sorted out. So that's what's happening in Mozambique. There's a lot of corruption going on. And by that time, because of all of this, they had to put someone else in front of the party, and they chose Gebuza. Gebuza is a very rich businessman, and he came into power in 2005, and after defeating Jacama. Jacama is the one representing RENAMO. All the other parties, they don't have they don't give a big contribution. Anyway, they couldn't, because it's established this way, to be between RENAMO and Frelimo. And Frelimo is going to be always in power unless someone comes, and I hope that ASI is going to be there one day to overcome this situation. Because otherwise, it's going to be always white power in black faces. Okay, so what happened is nowadays we have Gebuza in power, and we have a situation where they say that Mozambique is one of the most developing countries in Africa. But I ask, developed country for who? Mm-hmm. Is it developed country for the poor peasantry, for the working class? No, because they are in the same situation as they were before. Gebusa promised to fight corruption, bureaucracy, and poverty, but I'm pretty sure that he's not going to do that, because it's not of the interest to do that. What they are interested to do is maintain foreign relations. Maintenance of good relations with its neighbors, with the white power in South Africa, and maintenance and expansion of ties to develop partners within the Western world. Relations with Portugal, which was the former colonial power, continue to play an important role in the economy, which is mean to say that they're taking all they can. They're not leaving anything for the working class, for the poor peasantry. So, after the war,
yeah.
Socialist Party Chairman Omali Yeshitela's new book, One Africa, One Nation, is available now. In this historic collection, the chairman and representatives of the emerging African Socialist International explain why Africa and all its resources must be liberated and in the hands of African workers and peasants in Africa and everywhere. The chairman's new book, One Africa, One Nation, documents the process of building the African Socialist International, which is rapidly growing in countries throughout Africa and in the US, the Caribbean, and elsewhere around the world. For pictures of the chairman's recent book signing tour, and to order your copy of One Africa, One Nation, go to burningspearuhuru.com. That's www.burningspearuhuru.com.
Shop, donate, and volunteer at Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles for great deals on high-quality used furniture and unique treasures. Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles is a non-profit used furniture and collectibles store with outlets in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Oakland, California, and St. Petersburg, Florida. Uhuru Furniture Stores are an institution of the African People's Education and Defense Fund for genuine economic development for the African community. All donations are tax-deductible. Volunteer at Uhuru Furniture and Collectibles to be part of a great community of people who have a true desire to change the conditions of life for the African community. To locate the store nearest you, visit apedf.org and click the Uhuru Furniture link. That's APEDF, the acronym for African People's Education and Defense Fund. Or simply Google Uhuru Furniture.
Yeah. United States, better yet, divide the land. Trick up all the Indians, crackers call it pilgrimage. Bill face full of sin, president full of gin. Ain't no sense in bullshit and bring your whole room. One word, democracy, more like hypocrisy. White House, Pentagon, all of them are top of G. Independence, stop it, be trying to hit this lottery. Crackers standing clocking me, aim ready, shoot. Ain't ready, shoot. Two words, Supreme Court, playing blacks like sport. Tell us what we hoping for, even better what we voting for. Closing up our open doors, closing up our open doors. We gotta take it if we wantin' more, everybody move. Two words, man grab, Katrina, aftermath. Never seen a bloodbath, white like this hood rap. Court system ain't shit, dirty rotten government. Never this irrelevant, ooh.
Those two, welcome back to Africa Live on WhoRadio.com. I'm your host, Nyabinga Zimbabwe, and we've been having discussion up to now just about really summing up the conference that happened on last weekend, the conference, the 2006 conference to build the African Socialist International, very historic conference that saw the development of a actually the setting of the date for the founding Congress of the African Socialist International, AC, otherwise known as ASI, it was an excellent conference, historic conference, and the two songs you just heard were songs that were done by artists from Burning Spear Records, Burning Spear Records is a record company developed by the African People's Socialist Party. It's a record company that sponsored the opening cultural event for the African Socialist International. This cultural event that happened on Thursday was a great cultural event that showcased a great deal of talent, but not just talent, culture, revolutionary culture that takes this whole thing out of the hands of our oppressors, who use our own culture as a weapon against us most often by through record companies that push Africans push Africans to put out culture that would undermine the African Revolution as opposed to and undermine the cohesiveness of the African community, African people, creating beefs and problems between African people as opposed to culture that in the vein of Burning Spear Records that would serve African people in our process for African liberation. So this cultural event was a great event. It featured, various artists, including the two that you just heard, Daddy Moose from Sierra Leone, Crown from Florida, the U.S., featuring myself. But it also, the event showcased talent from all over, from other places like from the U.K., from Jamaica, so it was a great event, and it was an event that put culture in context, in the context of serving our people, serving our movement for freedom. To continue, this this conference saw the concretization or the development of more than just the founding Congress of the ASI, which is an immense thing. It's a big thing. It's nothing small at all. But it also, in this conference, resolutions were passed to build a international African trade union that would, you know, unite workers, you know, all over the world in this trade union. Support a resolution for support of ITRAP, the International Tribunal on Reparations to African People, which is a project that is being done by, you know, Africans all around the world, and is being led by Omalia Shatella, who's the chairman of the African People's Socialist Party and who's the leader of the process to build the African Socialist International. This conference saw resolutions to support the PAC, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. We had participation from members of the PAC, members of PICO, the Pan-African Youth Congress, it's the PAC's youth organization. So there was a resolution to support PAC in its in the work it's doing in the upcoming election, supporting the a project for water purification that'll be happening in West Africa, specifically Sierra Leone. Water purification project that that the ASI is taking on, but not as some type of charity work, but as something that that serves the revolutionary process, provides, you know, this water purification for African people, but wins them to the movement on the ground there, conference, the ASI conference, you know, had a lot of, there were a lot of concrete resolutions that came out of there, a lot of concrete work, you know, and I want to play a brief clip from the second day of the conference, where the ASI Interim Committee met and came back with some decisions, and I want to play that real quickly, just a brief clip on that, and we'll be right back. And I want to let folks know again, you can participate in this discussion. All you have to do, if you're calling from within the U.S., you can call toll free by dialing 1-877-824-3337. If you're calling from outside of the U.S., it's not toll free, but you can still call country code 001-727-824-5700. And you can also call us through Skype, which is an internet calling program. It's free. If you're calling through Skype, it's free. You can call us no matter where you are in the world. And we're going to post up some information on the Uhuru Radio website on how you can download Skype, so that you can begin using that to participate in this discussion, that we have, here on Uhuru Radio. And you can also email us by clicking email DJ on the front page of UhuruRadio.com. So just want to let folks know that, and you know, we look forward to your participation in this discussion. I'm going to play this clip real quickly.
So the founding Congress of the African Socialist International will take place in Senegal in 2008. And it will be... It's going to be in March. March 2008. And another decision that has come out of it is the ASI supports for the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. And a resolution has been drafted. I'm going to read it and so that the conference can support it. I don't have it.
No, he's working on that.
He's working on it.
Yeah. What are the determinations?
Can we identify the forces who now constitute the enlarged interim committee? Chimurenga, U.S. Nkrumah from Occupied Zania. Sibusiso from Occupied Zania. Cherno from West Africa. Aisha, who's in the U.S. Luezi from a number of places, including Democratic Republic of Congo, who's currently living here in the U.S. Gaida Cambon, who else did I leave out? Where's Sister Gaida? Sister Gaida Cambon, who did I leave out? Anyone? I'm sorry. Oh, Ayesta, you're too short. Sister Ayesta, out of Guyana, right? And Sister Sandra from Mozambique. So this is the enlarged interim committee. We decided that the Constitutional Commission has been pulled back together under the leadership of Comrade Chimurenga, who had already been working on the Constitution, Brother Luezi, and Comrade Hulisani out of Occupied Zania, who is also going to be participating on developing a constitution that the interim committee will be looking at and discussing sometime in December in order to be able to disseminate it among the ASI forces so that we can work toward having a draft constitution that we would take to the actual founding Congress of the ASI in March 2008 in Senegal. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
And the other thing is that we want to present to you a resolution on support for the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania that's been going through an extraordinarily reinvigorating process. As some of you know, the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania was actually an incredibly significant historical force in the process of the struggle for the liberation of what they now call South Africa. In fact, it was the critical force there in the sense that the African National Congress, when it passed the so-called Freedom Charter, that actually through its charter determined that South Africa belonged to everybody, including those who were who came there and used the gun to take the land from us. And that kind of development led to a breakaway by its youth organization under the leadership of Sobukwe, who was also in touch with Nkrumah and forces like that. And this youth organization under Sobukwe's leadership, among others, created the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania and then initiated a departure from the stance that was taken from the African National Congress, which was a liberal organization, as I said, that had already compromised the struggle with the Freedom Charter and other decisions that it made subsequent to that. So now, with the election in 1994 and the assistance of the imperialist world, the whole white world, ANC went to power, and the PAC was marginalized for a number of reasons, and we see it as our responsibility as African internationalists to give solidarity and support to the PAC, where the imperialists has given support to the ANC. And so we want to give you this resolution that you might consider to deal with the support by the ASI of the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania. It is a resolution that we are, I think, about ready to present to you for your approval.
So this is a clip from the second day, and I just want to make it clear that those resolutions were passed after that discussion. And so just wanted to say that, and also want to note that on the third day, and this is something that pertains directly to Uhuru Radio. On the third day, there was a working group put together on Burning Spear News, which includes Uhuru Radio, Burning Spear Media, which includes Uhuru Radio and Burning Spear News apparatus. And this working group came out of this working group came the determination to broadcast by January for on Uhuru Radio from occupied Azania, which is known as by its colonial name, South Africa, as well as in West Africa and in Europe. And we did concrete steps on the ground to make that possible. So out of come January, you will see a new lineup that will be a much more expanded programming lineup. And we're extremely excited about that. What we also saw coming out of that working group was the ability to put on down on the ground these news organizations of Burning Spear news bureaus that would be feeding news from the various fronts of the International African Revolution to the Burning Spear newspaper, to Uhuru Radio, and other Burning Spear news apparatuses. So this is needless to say an exciting time for those of us in the International African Revolution, and not just for us, but for any forward looking force on the planet, anyone who stands on the side of the oppressed in our struggle to overturn the relationship that we have with our oppressor. And so, you know, this is a critical moment in history that we've reached here, and I want to just make it clear, you know, the importance of this tool that we have here, Uhuru Radio, in pushing forward this process, and in your participation, you out there who are listening, in your participation, the importance of your participation in making this happen, making Uhuru Radio happen. We did some fun drives before we did the ASI broadcast, and some of you, a number of you out there, sent in your money, and we greatly appreciate that type of support, the concrete support for the International African Revolution. And we also call on those of you out there who can to participate in making the Uhuru Radio happen through volunteering your time, your skills to this process. There's so much that needs to be done. One of the things that I didn't mention was the fact that we will be putting internet cafes down on the ground in Africa and other places to facilitate, you know, the African working class getting access to internet, to Uhuru Radio. So, I mean, it's a really exciting thing, and you can participate in those programs. You can participate in the program to you can participate in sending us news for the newscast, the weekly newscast for Uhuru Radio, for the Burning Spear News paper. You can do that. You can also volunteer your time in terms of promoting Uhuru Radio in your area. We have flyers, we have bumper stickers that you can take on distributing in your area. So, you know, there's so much that can be done. There's so much to be done. And it's important that we all participate in this process so that we can liberate our Africa under an all-African socialist government. So just wanted to say that and say Uhuru, and I appreciate those of you who have participated today, who have listened in today to Uhuru Radio, and stay tuned for the next show, Omali Yeshitela Speaks, where you'll hear a recorded presentation from Chairman Omali Yeshitela. Uhuru.
Proving to our fathers, yeah, how good and a